Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
One of the end zone punt. Rogan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Good morning, everybody. Live from the Giants facility in East Rutherford, New Jersey. This is Big Blue Kickoff Live. I'm Paul Dottino. Glad to be with you as we talk about Giants football for the next hour here on Giants.com. Our phone number, if you'd like to join in on the action, is 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. And you can also hit me up on Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat. Also, I'm at the at GiantsWFAN. That's my personal Twitter page. Sometimes we talk about that. Usually I got my partner Roman Oben with me, or sometimes Jeff Fiegels. But today I'm flying solo. So that means I'm going to have a lot of time to talk to you folks out there in Giant Land. Once again, 201-939-4513 or hashtag GiantsChat. Now, for those of you who did not have an opportunity yesterday to listen to WFAN, John Mara, Jerry Reese, and Tom Coughlin all took turns talking to Mike Francesa about the state of the Giants. Really, a lot of the stuff that they talked about was stuff we talked about a week or so ago after the season ended, and all three of those particulars addressed where the Giants stand. However, there were a couple of things that I thought were rather interesting and certainly are open to discussion today if you'd like to do so. Number one, John Mara did say that the defensive coordinator position is probably going to take a couple of days to sort out. So we get that out of the way. We also know that Jerry Reese talked about how Odell Beckham Jr. was not the top wide receiver on the Giants draft board. It was Sammy Watkins, an admission by Jerry, which they don't usually talk about the draft board very much. So that was kind of neat to hear him talk about that, even though it was in retrospect instead of going in. And as it turned out, Odell Beckham Jr. has already won one Rookie of the Year award. That's the award given by the Pro Football Writers Association of America. He has that one already in his pocket. There are still two Rookie of the Year awards to be given out, one by the Associated Press, which becomes the official NFL Rookie of the Year award. That will be released on January the 31st, the night before the Super Bowl. The other one is the fan vote, the Pepsi-sponsored fan vote for the NFL Rookie of the Year. And, you know, I got to think that Beckham's got a good chance to win that one, too, because of all the spectacular catches he made over the course of the season. So that was pretty neat. Obviously, the Giants are thrilled to have Beckham, but they admitted that Watkins was ahead of their on their board, and he was picked ahead of them, so no big deal. Beckham was the guy available. He was the top guy available on the board. Jerry Reese also talked about how Zach Martin, who was taken by the Dallas Cowboys after the Giants, said he was a guy they had tremendous interest in. And in fact, had Beckham been gone, you know, you could infer that there was a good chance they would have taken Zach Martin, the offensive lineman who's going to the Pro Bowl for the Cowboys in his first season. So I thought that was kind of interesting for him to put out there in the public view. A couple other things they talked about in general. Weston Richburg, who, as you know, in his rookie season, played left guard and struggled some, not only because he was a rookie, but also because he was playing out of position. We all know at Colorado State, he was designed to be a center. Well, it was very clear, listening to all three of the particulars, that the Giants do intend on Richburg being a center, probably as soon as the 2015 season. And so, you know, if you're going to address that offensive line, which is something I want to get to in just a minute, it certainly won't be there, because Richburg is going to be the center of the present and the future for this team. I think that it was made very clear by all three particulars that they understand the Giants' offensive line needs work. How much work? Well, that's to be determined. Where do they go for it? Is it in the draft? Is it free agency? That's still to be determined. But we do know that when John Mara was asked about areas to improve, he came right out, first off, and said the offensive line. Jerry Reese talked about the offensive line. Tom Coughlin talked about the offensive line. So I think you get an idea that it's pretty unanimous. The Giants understand the offensive line is still a top priority, specifically because they were so inconsistent in the run game. not so much pass blocking. They did a pretty good job this year. Eli was sacked less than 30 times, which isn't bad, okay? But the running game was just so inconsistent because of that O-line primarily. They know they've got to address it. So that's one thing to glean from those conversations on the radio yesterday. Another thing about this, they also indicated, John Mara in particular, indicated defensive line and maybe get another linebacker. And obviously the safety spot is also going to be a bit in flux too, because you just don't know what's going to happen with free agent Antrell Roll. In any event, those were some of the things yesterday. Oh, and I should mention one more thing. Jerry, in talking about philosophical approaches to the draft, and when addressing Beckham, what he said was, and he admitted that Zach Martin was very high on the Giants board and they had great interest in him. He said that if I get a chance to take a playmaker over a guard, I'm going to take the playmaker. Interesting call, but you see, what a lot of people I saw on message boards in terms of interpreting that statement thought that automatically you always take the receiver over the offensive lineman. Jerry Reese specifically said guard. And I want to just bring that up to you for a second because, you know, I'm old school and I love offensive linemen first and foremost. Always value offensive tackles more than anybody else along the offensive line. There are a couple of reasons for this. First of all, offensive tackles come at a premium. Obviously, the left tackle protects the blind side of your quarterback. So that adds to the premium of the position. The other reason is, more often than not, if a guy doesn't cut it at offensive tackle, for whatever reason, you draft him, he's supposed to be an offensive tackle in the NFL, and he doesn't quite cut it, usually you can then slide him inside the guard, and he winds up being an okay guard. The inverse is not true. If you draft a guy to be a guard in the NFL and it doesn't work out, you usually can't slide him outside to tackle. Okay? So that also puts an extra premium on a stud tackle. So when you add those two valuable chips to the tackle position, I would have been very interested to hear if Jerry had been asked the question of, do you draft a playmaker or do you draft a monster stud blue chip offensive tackle? Now what do you do? Having said that, he mentioned playmaker over guard, and I understand that. Offensive tackle may have been a different story had that been asked of him. So when I evaluate an offensive line, and this is me, I evaluate offensive tackles as the most valuable. I evaluate centers as the second most valuable because they have to be incredibly intelligent and smart to be able to make the line calls and to work with the quarterback, to deal with the blitzes and everything else. And then I value guards third of the three positions on the offensive line. And as you know, often if centers don't work out, they also wind up sliding to guard. And occasionally you get lucky that a guard could also maybe pick up being a center as well. But again, the versatility of the position, that if you can be a tackle, chances are you could fall back to be a guard. Or if you could be a center, you could fall back to be a guard. That tells you really right there, without me even explaining it to you, the delineation between the three positions. Tackle, center, guard, in that order when you're drafting offensive linemen, at least in a generic sense. So I thought that was kind of interesting too. And obviously the Giants viewed Martin more as a guard than as a tackle. And so Beckham being the highest guy on their board anyway, he wound up being the pick. And the Giants are not sorry for that, nor should they be. Heck, the guy may clean up all the Rookie of the Year awards this season anyway. Oh, yeah, one more thing that I gleaned out of all the interviews that the guys did yesterday. Again, Tom Coughlin, Jerry Reese, and John Mara. It was very clear in listening, and if you folks don't want to understand it or don't, that's okay. But the Giants, in the worst way, understand that They had a poor season. In fact, John Mara said he was disgusted by it, nauseated by it. I think might have been one of the adjectives that he used. And they're going to do everything they can to fix it now. They believe that they can do enough to tweak this team to be a playoff team in 2015. This is not a three-year rebuilding plan or a two-year rebuilding plan. The Giants are going to do everything they can. They'll be very active to do everything possible to make this a playoff team in 2015. They don't want to wait another season, okay? They also believe they have enough young guys on this roster that they can do that without necessarily making it a one-year shot. So I think that's important. And as I think about it, there was one more thing that they said on the air yesterday, which those of us around the facility already knew, and I think most of the reporters have noted as well, that Justin Pugh, who had a suspect second season, he was hurt, had a quad injury, was fighting, a thing with his arm as well. He had a little bit of a step back. He played okay at right tackle, but it is also quite clear that in addressing the offensive line, the Giants' triumvirate was unanimous in that they've got to address the offensive line, and based on what's available and what they get, if it means that they get a stud tackle, guess what? And I think I've been telling you folks this for 2 years since Justin Pugh was drafted. They've got no problem sliding him down to guard. Because you know what? Justin Pugh is a good right tackle in the NFL, but he would be an even better guard in the NFL. And I've told you that since he was drafted. I stand by it. And clearly the Giants have similar feelings because they would be very, very agreeable to sliding him inside, provided they get that stud tackle that can take the vacant right tackle spot that he would be leaving. And that's really what it comes down to. Much like David Deal did over the years, and he played anywhere the team needed him to play, well, that's what you got out of Justin Pugh. Justin Pugh gives you everything he's got and will play anywhere you need him to play because he wants to help your team win. He's another David Deal type. And you know, by the time he's done in this league, he might wind up playing three different positions. Heck, David Deal played four before he finally retired. So, anyway, those are all the things that I picked up off of the radio interviews yesterday. Again, Mike Francesa had the chance to talk to Jerry Reese and Tom Coughlin and John Mara on the air. I think WFAN.com has them archived. If you want to go back there and listen to them, by all means do. They were enjoyable. These guys are great to talk to. They're great to listen to. The beauty of it is they were really straight shooters about it. They know the Giant fan is very smart and very intelligent. They're not out there to fool anybody. They know it is what it is. The record is what it is. The performance is what it is. The Giants didn't make the playoffs again this year, but darn it, they're going to do everything they can to try to make it in 2015. So with that, let's see what we can do about getting to your phone calls and your Twitter questions. Again, 201-939-4513 is our phone number. Paul Dottino with you on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Very glad to be joining you today. John, why don't you pull up the first call? It would be AJ from South Carolina. Hello, you're first on the program.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Hi.
I got a question. I think the Giants should target white tackle in free agency.
Okay. Who exactly would you like to get your hands on? Now, remember, the free agent list that you see now is an estimate, for lack of a better term. It's a tentative list because free agency won't begin until March, so you don't even know if the list you see now is going to be accurate. And then, of course, there'll be some guys who are cut by other teams because of salary cap reasons or maybe injury reasons, et cetera, et cetera. So if you look at the list right now of available free agent tackles, who is the guy you really want to get your hands on? See, for me, I prefer to go draft. And the reason is because if you draft a stud tackle, chances are he's going to be in your lineup for 10 years. You put him there, you don't touch him, and he's there, like, forever. If you sign a free agent offensive tackle, chances are he's already been in the league 4, 5, 6 years, and that means you might only get maybe 3 or 4 more years out of him. So his lifespan or his shelf life will be far less than if you can draft a stud tackle. So for me, I'd rather draft one. But, hey, any way they can get one is still a good thing, right?
Yeah, I like Brian Bulaco out of Green Bay, the white tackle. That's the one I like.
Out of Green Bay?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's take a look here. I have not taken a look at this list for a while because, quite frankly, as I said to you, I know it's fluid. So because it's being fluid, I haven't studied it very much. And, again, anything that we talk about here in terms of free agent names, this is all just stuff that we're talking about. Has nothing to do with what the folks upstairs are doing. I don't want to misconstrue you in that way, please. That would be an incorrect assumption. Okay, let's see here. We'll take a quick glance. Did you have another point while I take a look?
I got a comment. I hope the Giants get to the playoffs and beat Dallas and Philadelphia and compete for the NFC East title.
Well, I don't think the Giants are far away. I really don't. I agree with the assessment made by this front office. And, you know, Dallas has a lot of free agent guys they got to deal with. I mean, starts with Dez Bryant and DeMarco Murray. Doug Free, by the way, who by some accounts is the best free agent right tackle available. You're talking about Brian Bulaga. You're talking about Bulaga from the Packers.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's the guy you want, okay? And he right now, your top two right tackles on the board, free agent-wise, would be Free and Bulaga.
Yeah, that would be my top two.
He's had some injury issues, though. So, you know, how do you grade that out there? So that's something you want to consider. He happens to be 25. Now, Doug Free is 30. So Free fits into that thing I said to you about just a few moments ago about how the shelf life of a 30-year-old tackle is a little bit different than, for example, Bulaga, who's only 25. Remember when the Giants signed Kareem McKenzie from the Jets, he had been in the league 4 years, all right? He was 26 years old. The Giants got 7 years out of Kareem McKenzie. I think they were very fortunate to do so, and he was a terrific player and was an anchor on two Super Bowl offensive lines. But that doesn't always happen. You know, remember years ago when the Giants went to the Super Bowl after the 2000 season. In 1999, after that year was over, they wanted to redo their offensive line. They signed three starting offensive linemen. Lomas Brown at left tackle, Dusty Ziegler at center, okay?
Oh, yeah.
And they signed Glenn Parker at right guard. And within 2 years, all three of those guys were done. And now you got to rebuild the line again. You follow what I'm saying? So for me, I shy away. Not that it can't be done, but I'd rather draft the stud monster offensive tackle rather than signing him off a free agency. Not that I won't do it, but it's a tough call. But those are the two guys at the top of the list right now if I were to evaluate who's available. Thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it.
Thanks for taking my call, Paul.
No problem, my friend. You enjoy the offseason. Dre from Atlanta. You are next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Hey, what's going on, Paulie? How you doing? Happy New Year.
Yeah, you too, my friend.
Now, I'm going to take a different turn. This seems like there's a little drama going on in San Francisco with their new head coach hire. You think the Giants are going to go after their defensive coordinator and to revamp our defense? Because it's kind of, I mean, being in manager position, you know, to have your subordinate, now your boss, you know, it's kind of contemptuous, especially when it's a position that you actually was going for yourself.
You want Fangio. You want Fangio from San Fran.
Yeah.
Okay. He's well respected around the league. I have not heard or read anything that would indicate that he is on the Giants' radar. I also don't know exactly what he's going to do now that they've talked about the defensive line coach getting elevated. I get that. That may not be a great situation. But then again, maybe they're best buds. I mean, they've worked together on the same staff for a while. It's quite possible. Maybe Fangio gets a bump. Maybe he gets a raise. Maybe he gets elevated to assistant or associate head coach. You know, you don't know exactly how that whole thing in San Fran is going to shake down. It doesn't necessarily mean he's happy and looking to get out.
Well, you got to look at the main reason why he didn't get the position is because how close of a relationship he had with Harbaugh. And he's pretty much a carbon copy of Harbaugh in reference to attitude in your face kind of defensive coordinator.
He does have an edge to him. That's true. But maybe, you see, but remember now, by all accounts, Harbaugh and management did not get along at all, and that's been brewing for a long time. Now, at the same time, if you're in the Niners management, you also believe that while you didn't get along with Harbaugh and eventually that had to break, you also know that that style actually helped build you a Super Bowl contender. So maybe they don't have a personal issue with Fangio, and maybe they actually want somebody with a hard edge to still stick around because he might be easier to get along with than Harbaugh, especially since he's not the lead guy.
True.
I'm giving you hypotheticals here because the truth is I don't cover the Niners and I don't know their situation as well.
Right. I was just reaching, you know.
That's okay.
The defensive coordinator with an edge, you know, someone with a little bit of fire. You know, Pittsburgh did it when they brought Green in to be their linebacker coach. So, you know, that's something to give a little edge to our defense since, Coach said that, you know, it's not going to be a dramatic change to the philosophy of the defense.
Yeah.
But I just figured, you know, a little edge, a little aggressiveness, you know, it might be all right.
Well, you know,
thanks for taking my call, Paulie.
Hey, no problem. Thank you so much. And he mentioned the fact that Coach had said, there would not be dramatic changes on the defense. That says to me, by the way, that the Giants are going to stay with their basic 4-3 philosophy. Now, I may be reading that wrong, but that is certainly what I inferred from what the coach said when he talks about how we'll still stay with the basic defensive philosophy. But then Tom also said that he would not be afraid to tinker and tweak and listen to new ideas as well. But I'm going to assume that it's still the basic 4-3 philosophy that the Giants have used for many years now. And, of course, look at the roster, too. In my opinion, they don't have a plethora of linebackers to where, you know, you don't have LT and Brad Van Pelt and Harry Carson and Brian Kelly here. So, you know, that's kind of why they went to the 3-4 was because they had those guys. Remember Byron Hunt and Andy Hedden and all those guys? All right, let's go back to the calls. Oh, by the way, 201-939-4513. Ivan in Delaware, you're next on the program. Hello.
Hey, Paulie, how you doing?
Good to talk to you. I'm doing well. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. So I saw Paul Schwartz had sent out a tweet a little while ago saying that the Giants have informed Pepper Johnson that they're heading in a different direction. So, you know, to me, being unless they interview more people, then, it, you know, that, of course, brings it down to Spagnuolo or Dennis Allen. And, you know, I know that a big chunk of the fan base wants Spags to come back, and you know, if it's between him and Dennis Allen, then yeah, I would probably lean towards Spags. But I did have my reservations about, you know, him coming back, being that he, you know, what he's done since he's left the Giants, and with Pepper Johnson, I know he was a fan favorite. I myself would have liked to have him, but then also I was nervous about, you know, bringing in a guy who's not done the job before, especially with next year and everything that's riding on the season. But I just wanted to see what your thoughts was on that, and do you think with that coming out today that the Giants will be making that decision within the next couple of days? I heard what Mara said, but you know, I just feel that, you know, for that to come out, maybe, you know, they're ready to make their decision within the next, you know, day or two. And just your thoughts on that.
All right. Well, my first thought is I haven't seen the Paul Schwartz tweet, and I'm looking for it right now. I haven't seen it, but I will tell you this. There is no question that you have evaluated the two candidates or the lead candidate. Oh, here we go. Paul Schwartz says, unless Tom Coughlin opts for another interview, defensive coordinator job is between Steve Spagnuolo and Dennis Allen. Spag's the favorite, so says Paul Schwartz. Well, here's what I will say. I don't think there's any question that Steve Spagnuolo has experience as a defensive coordinator, and he's won a Super Bowl in that job. Pepper Johnson has not. He has had, for 14 years, an assistant coach's job in this league, at different positions, but never been a coordinator before, albeit a position coach who has accumulated jewelry. So if you're going to weigh the two guys out, one of the things you have to say, and it's clearly on their resumes, is that Spags has done this before and won before in this role, and Pepper is not. You can't ignore that. That clearly would give Spagnuolo an edge. Do they both have connections to the Giants? Yes. Do they both have connections to Tom Coughlin? Yes. So there are a lot. they could both deal with four threes and even do a little hybrid stuff if they wanted to with the 3-4. So they both are very talented guys who I think would actually fit in very, very well here. But if you're looking for the biggest difference between the resumes, clearly Spags with the jewelry as a DC is the thing that separates him from Pepper Johnson. And I'm just telling you something that you probably already know, but it's the most obvious. And sometimes people have to understand the facts are staring you in the face. You know, the paint's on the wall. The Wheaties box is on the wall. It's right there for you to see. Sometimes there's nothing hidden. You know what I mean? There's nothing behind the curtain. This is what it is. It's right there in front of you. Just look at it.
Right. And you know, I'll just, you know, end with this. You know, I myself wanted a change, so I'll accept, you know, whoever they hire, whether it's Dennis Allen or Spagnuolo, because I, for one, felt the team needed a change. But, you know, and I think this is just going to get the fans going again and spinning their wheels with the coaching waiting, which drives me crazy when I hear it.
No. I'm going to stop you right there.
Yes.
Coaching waiting stuff, don't even think about it. The Giants
don't do business that way.
I need you
to speak to the fans out there. I'm on board with you, Ed, but you know they started up the McAdoo coaching waiting nonsense.
And
Mr. Mary, you know, he shot that down again yesterday on the radio.
How many times do I have to say it? How many times does the owner have to say it? The Giants don't play coaching waiting. They don't play that game. They don't. Okay?
I agree. They don't.
And they will not. That is not the structure of this organization. Appreciate the phone call, my friend.
Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. 201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants Chat. Okay, let's see if we got some hashtag Giants Chats up here. Oh, no, we got a phone call I want to get to, John. I think we got a call. I don't want to keep this person on hold. Is that Russ in Kentucky? You're next on the show. Hello.
Yeah, what's going on? Yeah, do you see Mel Kiper's draft? Top 10 draft yet?
Mel Kiper, let's take a look. I got my trusty computer right here at the handy, so let's take a look.
I'm telling you right now, if that draft happens the way we are, we have our offensive line, a kid out of Iowa. He is what we
Shreff,
need.
Shreff, yeah, you like him, huh?
Oh, yes. I looked at some highlights. I'm like, please be a Giant. Please be a Giant. This is what we need for the offensive line. We need somebody that's going to tough it out, man. John Derby was good, but he's not, you know, he's not a Pro Bowl type of O-lineman. We need an O-lineman that's going to rough it out in the trenches, and that's what we need. We need to draft him right there. Then go for defensive tackle because we need another young defensive tackle.
I'm trying to find Kiper's mock right now as we go through the search here, and I'm having a tough time picking it up off the search engine. But I will tell you this. There are a lot of people who think that tackle is going to be gone by pick 9. I do think a lot of what's going to determine whether or not he's available for the Giants at their selection will be how high do the quarterbacks go. I mean, where's Winston going? I don't like Jameis Winston.
I'm going to say this right now. Winston is the first pick. He has to be because Mariota can't be the first pick. Mariota doesn't play the NFL type of system. But another thing I want to tell you, Paulie, that you need to talk to Jerry Reese. Needs to talk to you because you are so right. I still remember what you said. We need a blocking tight end. We got the nail, but we need a blocking tight end. That's one thing that people don't talk about with the Cowboys. Jason Witten was blocking. It wasn't just the O-line. Jason Witten was blocking this year. He was doing a lot of blocks, even Dez Bryant. That's why DeMarco Murray had a good year. We do need a blocking tight end. We need some guys in the trenches that can – go hard.
You know,
that's all I have to say.
Well, it's funny because I appreciate the phone call. Thank you so much. For you fans who want to go new school, and I understand that the receiving pass-catching tight end is new school. It's the nouveau way. It's the sexy way. It's the highlights way. It's the Xbox way of playing football. Let me just say this, and I get the fact that the NFL is different than college, okay? But it's still football. And an old-school guy like me, I'm always going to want a tight end who can block, okay? I want a guy who's going to get down, dirty, and physical, and he's going to help out my offensive lineman at the line of scrimmage, especially in the run game. You know, I'm a smash-mouth, pounded-out kind of guy. That's just the way it is. Dude, do I love Odell Beckham Jr.? Sure I do. Was he exciting to watch? Absolutely. Was that the most athletic catch I've ever seen in my life in the history of pro football? Yes. But You got to have a tight end who's going to block and help out that running game. It is imperative. And if you don't believe me, why don't you ask the people at Ohio State? Because what happened to the Oregon Xbox Club in the national championship team? Xbox lost and old school football won because the Buckeyes pounded the ball out with solid pass protection, a very stout and physical offensive line that pounded out with the running game, and poor Xbox football came up losers. That will happen much more often than not. Can it go the other way? Yeah. Xbox can win occasionally. But more often than not, it's old school, smash mouth, beat 'em up football that's going to get it done. And if you're going to do that, you got to have a physical tight end who will take it to you. So, yes, the Giants need to get one of those. And you don't have to get one in the first round. You probably don't even have to get one in the second round because everybody wants to play Xbox and draft Xbox tight ends. So you can get one in maybe round three or four. You know, you folks who've been around a while, you remember who Dan Campbell was? Boy, Dan Campbell, he would be a really good fit for this team right now. Not to mention Howard Cross, one of our broadcast partners. Howard Cross, the best blocking tight end I've ever seen. Of course, Howard pushed close to 260 pounds, and he really truly was more of an offensive lineman the last 3 or 4 years of his career than he was a tight end. But in any event, I appreciate the phone call. Thank you so much. 201-939-4513. All right, let's go to Giants chat and see what we have here, because I know we got to get back to some more calls, but we're going to get to a couple of your Twitter comments, because I know you folks do sometimes like to get in on the internet. Let's see here. Big Blue Beckham says, we do have a coach in waiting. Coach Coughlin is waiting for next year to begin. Well, that's absolutely true. In fact, as far as I'm concerned, Coach Coughlin, I wouldn't be surprised if he's here for a couple of more years. I really wouldn't. He's got the desire, the energy, the fire. He certainly knows the game. It hasn't passed him by. I mean, don't even think for half a second that this game has passed Tom Coughlin by, because it hasn't. And for his sake, okay, I like the guy. Like the guy a lot. Don't mind telling you that. So not only do I want the Giants to make the playoffs for all you folks out there, I want the Giants to make the playoffs for all the folks in this building, especially Tom Coughlin, so that he gets to kind of call his shots. You know, that'd be pretty cool. I think everybody would like to see the Giants make the playoffs in 2015, except Dallas, Philadelphia, and Washington, of course. All right, let's see what we have here. Christopher Duval says there's no stud tackle in this year's draft as of now. There are probably going to be as many as four, I believe, tackles go in the first round. Now, at nine, that gets a little sketchy because some of those guys are probably going to be a little bit further down, which, of course, now opens up that other situation. If you're the Giants and you're really going to go stud tackle, do you trade down a few spots? It's always a consideration. Let's see here. Avery says, not a shocker, Paul. Justin is a guard, period. A left guard. Okay. I've got no problem with that. Again, obviously, you've been listening to me for 2 years. Let's see here. Joe, JCS 2008 says, based on Francesa's interview, it doesn't seem like Coughlin would consider the 3-4 defense or any drastic change. Well, again, he said there wouldn't be a drastic change. And so I do take from that, there'll still be a base 3-4. Now, they may change some things up in the sub package at times, but there's still going to be a base 3-4. I would agree with that. Let's see what else. Oh, that's about it for now on the Twitters. Okay, so we will go back to the phone calls. 201-939-4513. Very spirited show today. I'm enjoying it very much. We will go to Derek from Atlanta. You are next on the program. Hello.
Hey, Paul. How's it going today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. I just wanted to say, you know, first of all, I don't want to talk about the defense 3-4 because I don't think the Giants are going 3-4. But I
don't think so either. I'll tell you what, though,
go ahead. Maybe, you know, it's do or die, that it'd be kind of ludicrous to try to change your whole defense at this time.
Yeah, but if you could bring back LT and Carl Banks, I'm all for it.
I'm all for it, too, then. I wanted to say, that, you know, and this is, I've changed maybe over the last day or so. I wanted to bring Sue in here. But just looking at how much money he's going to want, and how many positional players are we probably going to lose at the tackle position, interior tackle, we're probably going to lose Jenkins, Patterson, Kuhn. Like Kuhn is ranked like number 76 in run stopping in the league, and we're like ranked number 30th in the league in stopping the run. So I don't think those players is going to help us out. I don't think you bring in one player with that so much money, even though I would love him. If he gets hurt, then you are left with basically needing three or four more tackles on your team. So I just want to know, you see some other people out there who are under 27 and under that we can potentially target, maybe get one or two of those guys and then get a guy out of the draft as a defensive tackle.
Well, first thing I would say to you is, as far as the defensive tackles who are unrestricted free agents, only Mike Patterson is on that list for the Giants as it stands right now. Okay? So as far as everybody else, they are all under contract. Now, whether or not they will come back, that remains to be seen. But everybody else except Patterson at the position is under contract. So let's get that out of the way first. Now, if you're going to look at the defensive tackle position in free agency, guys who are at the moment are unrestricted. Oh, let's take a look here. We'll take a glance on the internet here because, quite frankly, again, it's a fluid list. And so I'm not printing it out because it's fluid. I'm looking for it now. Let's see here. I will say this. John Mara, Jerry Reese, I don't think Coach Coughlin said it, but I think the other two have said on more than one occasion that the Giants don't expect to make a big splash in free agency. So to me, that says if they sign a second-tier guy, for example, like Jeff Schwartz was last year, that's probably as big as they're going to go with one signing. DRC last year was a top-tier free agent, and they spent big money to get him, and that shocked everybody. Because I don't know anybody who actually thought, you know, that he was going to be available. And I guess my computer's locking up here just a bit. Oh, here we go.
Well, let me ask you, there's two players that I'm going to ask you about then. You know, Dominican Sue is making a whole lot of money. He's probably going to want more.
Well, Fairley's there.
Nice to see him in a giant uniform, but I think it was just too much money for one player when we need so much help.
I got you. Nick Fairley, his teammate's available, and he's 26.
How about Jarrett Odrick and or Dan Williams?
Okay, Williams is also 27, as is Odrick. So, again, you're talking about guys who are in their upper 20s but not really pushing the 30 thing yet. So those would be guys who would certainly be under consideration, I would think, if that's the way you were going to go. Now, remember, the Giants, one thing you want to keep in mind here, Jay Bromley has barely had an opportunity to show what he's got. And when they drafted him out of Syracuse last year, he didn't play as a rookie because they felt they had so many veterans ahead of him who needed the playing time. But I don't know what Jay Bromley is. I'll be honest with you. I don't know. I've seen the cut-ups in college, but I don't know what Jay Bromley is in the NFL.
And
so he's one guy you've got to consider.
It looks like he's a guy that can penetrate almost like, you know, a lesser Aaron Donald, someone who can get, you know, in the gap, kind of tie up two people, maybe put some pressure on the quarterback, you know. But I don't see him as particularly as a run stuffer.
I don't think so either.
At 30, I think we need somebody who can come in and basically stop the run with Hankins.
Well, you know what? There are a bunch of defensive tackles who were under 30.
Now, there's a big guy, but he's played in the 3-4 all his life. I don't know whether he can come in and play in the 4-3, but Terrence Cody is a big body who can stop the run. I don't know, you know, what he's doing lately. I haven't watched his play, but You know, I'm just wanted to get your opinion on.
I don't see Cody on the free agent list. You know his deal is up.
I think his deal is up.
Oh, there he is. There he is. I got him. He made only less than $500,000 this past year with Baltimore. So yes, he is on the list, and he is only 26 years old. So again, in talking about a guy who is going to be in the mid-20s to upper 20s, that's where you want to go. I don't necessarily know you want to sign a guy who's 30 or up, or a guy who's going to demand mega, mega bucks. So I think you're on the right track. I'm going to tell you the truth of the matter is, right now, because we don't know what the free agent list is going to look like when it's all said and done, I'm kind of been a little bit pushed back on it. I've looked at it in a very preliminary fashion. I have not studied it very much. I've studied more the Giants list, their roster, who's signed, who's not signed, what the salary cap situation is. I've spent a lot of time on that and not as much on the free agents yet, because we're still a couple of months away from that list looking like what we think it's going to look like. And even then, there'll be guys cut after that. So that's a little sketchy. The other thing is, I'm trying to get ready after watching the bowl games. I got the All-Star games coming up, and I want to start looking for draft stuff. So
yeah.
I'll be here during the offseason, I think once a week. I think that's the plan. So please feel free to call me back.
I thought a name before I go. I thought a name for my draft. Take a look at Vic Beasley.
Okay.
Out of Clemson. And just, you know, when you get a chance. You know,
I'm going to jot that name down. I'm going to jot that name down right now for you. No problem.
All right,
my friend.
I'll talk to you later, Paul.
All right, you take care. Thanks so much for calling.
All right, bye-bye.
201-939-4513. Beasley out of Clemson wants me to take a look at that. Okay. I'll tell you what. I spent so much time looking at these cut-ups. And then, you know, you wonder afterwards when the draft is made and then the Giants pick so-and-so. And then you say, well, look, how many hours did I spend looking at guys that they didn't wind up picking? But, hey, it's okay, right? That's what we do. Steve from Staten Island, you're next on the show. Hello, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, Paul, good afternoon, buddy. How are you today?
I'm well, man. How are you?
All right. Hey, Paul, listen, you know, I got to throw the shot at you, and I want you to tell me what you think about it, okay? I'm a little curious here. Obviously, I know the Giants interviewed Spag. And if, okay, of course, underlining and overemphasizing the word if, they should by some chance bring him back, okay? How do you view 2015 Giant defense? You know, because to me the last couple of years, and at least from what I've seen on my end anyway, defensively speaking, they always seem like they were a dollar short and a day late, more or less, to the ball. You know, do you see a more fired up defense? Do you see them being a little bit more aggressive, a little more hungry? Because I tell you, you remember from 07, he just, it's something about what he does with these guys. They were in beast mode in 07. So, I mean, you know, what do you think? You know, how do you view if they sign him, how do you view this Giant defense? Do you see a different defense in 15 than you saw in contrast to 13 and 14?
Here's what I can tell you about Spagnuolo's defense during the Super Bowl season of 2007, and quite frankly also in 2008 when they looked like they were ready to repeat before the wide receiver had his issue.
Yeah, well, yeah.
But let's face it, those 2 years when Spags was the DC, you felt pretty good about this D, right? Real good, right.
You know why? Because what I saw was
a lot of great guys on those teams, too. A lot of great guys on those teams, too. Let's not discount the fact that he had a lot of good guys on that team.
Paul, that front four arguably was the best front four in all of pro football.
It was right there.
Bottom line,
it was right there. Yeah, it was right there. Right there. No question.
Now here's where I'm going to go with my other question.
No,
and then I want to hang up. No,
bear with me.
Answer.
All right, go ahead.
And I'm curious.
Go ahead.
You said, and I heard you say it, and, well, actually, you know, Mara said it, that they're not going to make that big name splash free agent signing. I'm just going to throw this at you. Now, I know you're not supposed to use the word sexy in football, but picture Sue and JPP and Hankins on the same line. Tell me that wouldn't be sick.
Well, to do that, you're not going to be able to have much more than nickels and dimes to fill out the rest of your roster.
That's true.
And what are you going to do when you have no depth at linebacker, no depth at safety, still don't have a blocking tight end? Now what are you going to do?
Well, listen, I can dream, can't I? That's the beauty of calling a show. I mean, you can dream. I mean, I don't really realistically seeing it happen. But, you know, listen, and as far as the tight end's concerned, you know what? Yeah, I definitely remember Dan Campbell. Yeah. And, wow. I mean, that would be a hell of a pickup if they could actually bring him in. And who do you think, Paul, if anything, if they don't go that route, do you see them drafting a good tight end? Or do you see them trying to see what they got in the free agent market? Well, thanks for taking my call, buddy. Have a good day.
All right. Appreciate the phone call. Thank you so much. You know, right now, when you look at the free agent market, you basically see a lot of these scrap heap tight ends who are more, again, pass-oriented tight ends. I mean, there are not a lot of big, strong, physical tight ends who really bring it, who are in the league right now, because the league has shied away from picking up those guys out of college. So I think if I'm the Giants, I think in the early third day, even, if you got to go fourth round, you could do it. You could get a stud blocking tight end in the fourth round in today's game because everybody wants to play Xbox football. So those kinds of guys, those old school tight ends, you can get them later on if you have to. Okay, you guys know I wanted a Nicholas out of Notre Dame last year. I was very, very high on him. He wound up getting hurt. Missed almost the whole season with the Cardinals. So who knows what his future is going to wind up being. It's a shame he did get hurt, but that's the kind of guy that I'm talking about. He went very, very high because obviously high-profile program, did a lot of good things besides block when he was at Notre Dame. And so, you know, he certainly went high and deserved to be, but injuries have sidetracked his early career. One thing I want to mention to you about Spags, the guy was asking me about the Giants' aggressive defense and how they're going to get after it again. Here's what I would say about Steve Spagnuolo. What I know about him, and I think it's one of the best traits that he has, Spagnuolo has mutual trust between his players and himself and vice versa. And when I say that, what I mean is that there were times, and he understood because he had such great players on his team, that the Giants would often come to the sidelines and they would talk to Spags and Strahan or Tuck or OC, Pierce, you know, and they would draw up plays on the sideline. And I say drawn up in the dirt, but we all know with artificial turf, there's not a lot of dirt on sidelines in the NFL anymore. But they would draw things up literally on the spot, on the sideline. Spags would have give and take with his guys, and they would come up with, okay, let's do this and this and this. Yeah, what do you think about this? Oh, maybe not. Hey, Michael, what do you think? And they would come up with these improvisational decisions about how they're going to play a certain way or what philosophy they're going to use or what scheme they're going to use or who's going to take who, and they would improv off the initial game plan. And they did that a lot. Why? Because the players trusted Spags that he would listen to them and work off of their suggestions, but also because Spags felt good enough about his players that they were talented enough and smart enough and honest enough that he could trust them. So there was such a great mutual trust there between him and the players that they very often would improvise on the sidelines. And they loved him for that. And I think that's part of the reason why, as the caller just said moments ago, the Giants were so incredibly aggressive and so energetic. Because when you really love the guy you're playing for, and by the way, Perry Fuel's a really great guy, a player's coach and a really fun guy, and a guy who at practice was always vocal, was always running up and down the sideline, hustling. Every time they would create a turnover in practice, he'd be following the turnover down the other side of the field. A great guy. So please don't take anything I'm saying about Spags as disparaging against Perry Fuel. But what I am saying is Spags had this extra added dimension to him of improvisation, working in unison with the players to improv, to make things happen. And maybe that's what you're talking about when you say you saw more aggression or more energy or more enthusiasm. Perhaps it was that improvisation that showed on the field as aggression and assertiveness and confidence, that kind of thing. So when you talk to me about earlier, we had a call about Pepper Johnson and Steve Spagnuolo and trying to weigh the guys. Well, there's clearly the resume thing, And then there's this other thing that I remember seeing when Spagnuolo was here that to me was incredibly valuable to that defense and helped make that defense a championship unit. But that's something I saw in 2007 and 2008. None of those players are here any longer. You know, would that work with the players they have now and the players they hope to acquire? That's something that only time will tell if he winds up being the guy. Okay, let's go back to the phone calls. I'm sure we have a few more. John, I believe you can punch up Oliver. You're next on the line. Hello?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good to
talk
to you.
Thanks for having me.
All right.
I've got a couple questions. I wonder if you think there's any complacency with the Giants and going for these old faces as far as our interviews. Because we're interviewing guys that I don't think any other team is interviewing for defensive coordinator positions. Are we just set in our ways? And why haven't we picked up the phone with Jim Schwartz yet? He's the hottest coordinator, coached the top five defense, the 4-3 guy, kind of fits the mold of the guys that they're interviewing as far as energetic, something to prove.
Well,
I'm just confused.
Okay, well let me say this to you. I don't think there's anything wrong with the resumes of the guys that they've talked to. I mean, or at least they've reported to have talked to. I don't have Jerry here or John Mara here to sit here and say, yes, we have talked to those guys. But if the four guys who they have reportedly talked to are the candidates for the job, I don't have a problem with any of the resumes. I mean, even Pepper Johnson has a solid resume. It's not, I mean, there's nothing to sneeze at there. It may not be necessarily as qualified as Spags because of the things we've talked about. But, you know, Allen's got a good resume. Morris has accomplished some things in this league. These guys are not lightweights now. Now, I appreciate what you're saying about Schwartz. And by the way, I don't know for a fact if the Giants called Schwartz or don't, or haven't. Nobody knows that. Only they know if they put in a phone call to him. Maybe they called him and he said he wasn't interested. You don't know that. I don't know that.
No, it makes sense.
I mean, I can't. I none of us can tell you that. Remember, here's the funny part about this. And I want you to understand this and all the other folks, too, out there. When there's a job opening, it doesn't automatically mean that just because the team wants a guy to come in and be a candidate, that doesn't mean he's going to come in and interview. Maybe there are reasons why he doesn't want to come in for that interview. He's got something else lined up or he sees something else that he likes better. I mean, it takes two to tango. So I'm always very cautious when saying, well, why didn't the team do this or get this guy? Well, how do you know they didn't try calling him? You don't know. And that's only the only thing I would say is this. I don't know about Schwartz, and I think that the guys they have talked to, supposedly have talked to, are all qualified people. That's about the only way I can answer your question.
No, that's a logical answer. It's just confusing to me how the guys we were reportedly interested in interviewed. And like again, you say nobody knows who actually talked to an interview. But I don't see these guys on any other team's radar. Are we overvaluing these old faces? I'm just concerned about that.
Well, you have to remember something, too. In some cases, guys aren't going to get talked to because, for example, Spags is under contract right now with the Baltimore Ravens. So if you're interested in him, you've got to go to the Ravens and say, okay, he is your associate head coach / defensive backs coach. You're going to need the Ravens to give you permission. Now, do you think they're likely to give permission to a team in their division or maybe a team in their conference? Probably less likely than they would give permission to a team in the NFC, don't you think?
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's part of it too. In some cases, a guy may be tied up and he's not a free agent. I mean, Pepper Johnson. You know, obviously they got an influx or a whole new coaching staff and stuff up in Buffalo. So you don't know what's going to happen there because he's free at the moment, or going to be free, I suppose. I guess Rex Ryan has to talk to him. But you don't know what the status is of that guy is on the other side of it. And so if I'm the Ravens, you know, I'm not giving permission for Spags to talk to just anybody. So, you know, how do you know that maybe some of the guys that maybe you are interested in or some of the guys that the Giants have been interested in, maybe other teams wanted to talk to them too, but they weren't allowed to. There's so many things that we don't know that happen behind closed doors. And that's why I like to be very careful when I make a statement about something, because there's always something maybe that you just don't know that was a factor in why or why not. That's the best way I can answer you.
Yeah, yeah. All right, thanks for having me.
Appreciate the call. Thank you so much. 201-939-4513. Man, John, I'm jacked up today. John, our producer here on the other side of the camera, we're enjoying this one today. It's been a week since I've been here, and I am just absolutely jacked up to be talking Giants football. And, of course, we've got all our Twitters here, our tweets on the Giants chat. Let's see. Oh, we have a caller, John. John McDonald says to me, he's our producer. I don't know if you guys ever get a chance to see him, but he's always in the room with us, and we have a good time. He says, a caller from Ecuador has a bad connection, but wants to know what you think of Odell Beckham Jr. as a punt returner. Wow. The Giants have had trouble identifying spectacular punt returners for quite a long time, since Dominic Hickson, really. And so I understand the high premium that Tom Coughlin puts on field position. And for that reason, that's why Beckham was put back there in the second half of the year. Reuben Randle had done okay in terms of catching the punts, but he wasn't really getting much in terms of field position. So I understand why. Of course, it makes you kind of grimace a little bit when you think that, well, that's another opportunity for him to get hurt. So the problem becomes, do you play in fear of a guy getting hurt, or do you just say, look, it's football, you got to put your best guys out there as often as they can get out there, get them as many touches as possible, and just try to make as many plays as you can to win each and every week? I'm going to tell you, I have mixed feelings, because I weigh both of those, and at different times of the day, I feel like, wow, yes, you have to get the guy out there, and at other times, I cringe and say, oh, couldn't somebody else maybe do it? I come and go with the wind on that one. I honestly don't have, and I know it's hard for you folks to believe, because as a Paisan like me, I usually always have an opinion, and I'm very strong and emotional about it. This is one of those very few topics that I do not have a definitive opinion on. I really kind of think it comes and goes with the wind. It would be so much easier if the Giants had somebody else who was a spectacular and dynamic punt returner, and I could say to you, okay, don't even think about Beckham, because they've got player X who's really good and can get you the field position that you want. And you don't have to even think about Beckham, because this guy is dynamic, he's spectacular, he's really good. Fine, let's get player X out on the punt return unit team, and don't worry about even thinking about Odell Beckham Jr. I'd love to be able to say that, but that's not the case, and that's what makes it a really, really hard deal. Yeah, John, absolutely. If we can get one more caller in here at 201-939-4513, I've got no problem. We've got a few minutes left in the program. Remember, Big Blue Kickoff Live is here every Monday to Friday, 12 o'clock noon Eastern time to 1 o'clock. Jot that number down, 201-939-4513, or hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. We have our rotating Giants broadcast team comes in and hosts the program, and we enjoy talking to you, and I hope you guys enjoy tuning in, listening, and talking to us as well. Do want to say the off-season program for the Giants begins April 20th. That's quite a ways down the pike, but that's when the players will, you know, be back in here and doing all the things that they have to do to prepare for the 2015 season. So things really are quiet around the facility, unless you have interviews for other things going on, as we have alluded to during the course of this program. Gersten from California, you'll be the last caller on today's program. Hello.
Hey, Paul, good morning.
Good morning. It is morning for you, isn't it?
Yeah, that is true. But, hey, I had a question. You know, just watching from the cut-ups here and there about, you know, when you guys interview the coaches, like the assistant coaches for the Giants.
Yes.
It just came to mind, Coach Herman. I always see him, and he just seems like a fiery guy, seems all up on up. I don't know, what's your thoughts on that? Would the Giants look into hire within?
In terms of, I mean, promoting one of the current assistants to be a DC? You know, to this point, based on everything that, we've read about, it does not look as though that's going to happen. And I'm going to take a leap of faith here, and I'm going to tell you an assumption. This is not factual because I have not talked to Coach Coughlin about his candidates or what his MO is. But I'm going to take a leap of faith here and say that if they weren't happy with the defense as it was constructed, chances are you want to try to get somebody from the outside to give you a fresh take. And that's simply a leap of faith. I'm not telling you anything that I know for sure, but usually that's the case. You know, if you're really kind of unhappy generically with what the situation is or what it was, you want to get somebody from the outside and say, look, give me a breath of fresh air here. Open my window and bring something else in to the table, and let's see what you have to offer. Because right now, you know, if we stay with one of our own guys, we're probably still going to have some of the things inherent in what went wrong last year. I think that's probably the way you would approach it if you were logically trying to fill the spot. So I understand why they would want to talk to people from outside.
Gotcha. I have one last question.
Sure.
What are your thoughts of us going for a linebacker or a safety on the draft?
Well, it's clear the Giants are going to need at least one more linebacker because Jaquan Williams is an unrestricted free agent. He's also coming off a concussion that cost him the last, third of the season approximately. So you are certainly going to look at linebacker. John Mara himself said he thinks the Giants need to add a linebacker and that he also mentioned safety. And the Giants at the moment, in fact, I got my list here, unrestricted free agents at safety are Stevie Brown, Entrell Roll, and Quentin Demps. Three of their veteran safeties are unrestricted free agents. So Berry is still under contract, but he's barely played. Cooper Taylor is still under contract, but he's been hurt for two seasons, so you still don't know what he brings to the table. So right now, the Giants, in terms of players currently under contract for 2015, are very, very thin at safety. So I would not be adverse to seeing them get somebody in the draft or in free agency for sure, especially if they don't bring any of those three guys back. I suspect Stevie Brown, though, I suspect he would come back. And I think they could probably do a pretty fair deal with him on the basis of, you know, he had the knee injury last year, and then this past season was trying to work himself back in and was pretty close to what he was supposed to be and then was in and out of the lineup. I would think you could probably get Stevie Brown back in at a fair rate, given the fact that he still wants to prove himself again. So I would say he's got the best chance of the three coming back. Okay?
All right, thank you, Paul.
Thank you so much for the call. That'll do it for this edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. We have had really a lot of fun talking to you for the past hour. Again, Monday to Friday from noon to 1 Eastern Time, 201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants Chat right here on Giants.com. Until next time, I'm Paul Dottino. We'll see you then.
Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
What a get-go punt. Broken intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants!